Welcome to The Spot, KALW's weekly space for the best in public radio podcasts and storytelling. I'm your host, Ashley Ann Krigbaum. It was small, red, and had the word diary embossed in gold ink on the cover. And I wrote in it every day for the entirety of 1995. My entries mostly just recounted what I did that day. School, Burger King with my grandma, blowing my allowance at Thrifty's. I still have it, and whenever I peek inside, I feel a little disappointed. I mean, I wish I would have kept count of my feelings more. What did 10-year-old me dream about? What made me depressed? Well, luckily, because I didn't do that, I'm excluded from embarrassing myself on the podcast and storytelling event Mortified. Mortified solely exists to bring the stories of your emotional diaries to the stage, and in each event, presenters read verbatim the good, the bad, and the now pretty hilarious entries from their personal teenage diaries. In one of their most recent episodes of the Mortified podcast, they share stories that give the holidays some super fierce side eye. Just a heads up that this segment contains naughty language, the kind that a teenager would use to describe how much they hate the holidays. We've bleeped most of it, though. So if you find that sort of talk hilarious, this is a podcast for you. And if you don't, we'll have something more wholesome starting around the 15-minute mark.
Dear Diary.
Sixth grade.
February 14th.
1991.
I am really depressed.
How could she break up with me?
Mom, you can't read this.
Talia Cooper, age 14, 11:01 p.m. Tuesday, December 7th, 1999, 10:02 p.m., fifth night of Hanukkah. Lev was at choir practice, so it was just Dad and I. We exchanged Hanukkah presents. I gave him an Oriental cooking book, and he gave me an American Sign Language dictionary and CD-ROM dictionary.
Most Jewish kids will tell you, it's pretty rare to get a gift on the fifth night of Hanukkah that can top all other nights. But that was the case for Talia Cooper, who in middle school got the kind of gift that almost made her forget about her cool new CD-ROM dictionary.
Then the phone rang. Here was our conversation. Deaver. Hi, Talia. It's Deaver. I have something to tell you that I have no idea how you'll react. Long pause. I don't know what to say next because I never thought I'd get this far. Oh, well, are you gonna ask me out? Now that you mention it, how about it? I am so happy. P.S. I can't believe I have a boyfriend. P.P.S. I love sign language. P.P.P.S. I'm not single. P.P.P.P.S. Happy Hanukkah and a very happy one it is indeed.
Unfortunately, most Hanukkah nights and Christmas mornings don't end up feeling like a scene straight out of Love Actually.
Let's do it. Let's go get the shit kicked out of us by love.
Yes!
And at some point in our adolescence, getting into the holiday spirit becomes that much harder.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch.
From PRX and Radiotopia, this is the Mortified Podcast. I'm Neil. And today, just in time for the holidays, we present tales of kids who face that life-altering question. Do I still believe in Christmas?
Every Who down in Whoville liked Christmas a lot. But the Grinch, who lived just north of Whoville, did not.
First up is the story of a real-life Grinch, whose bitterness at Christmas rivals that of Dr. Seuss's original creation. Yep, there's new trouble in Whoville, and it's a depressed teenager.
Good evening. My name's Jimmy. If there was a theme song for my teenage years, it would have to be The Smiths. Heaven knows I'm miserable now. By the age of 16, I'd convinced myself that I'd cemented my status as the world's unluckiest person. My parents were divorced. I didn't feel like I fit in at school. The last presidential election didn't even go my way. And I was 100% in the closet. I truly wanted to be happy, but I had no idea how to get there. So I coped in the only way I knew how. By bitching about everything, constantly, all the time. And then along comes the season to be jolly, the most wonderful time of the year. And that only exacerbated the situation and multiplied my angst. So imagine I was like a cross between Charlie Brown, Ebenezer Scrooge, and the Grinch. And the following diary entries were like my twisted holiday special. The year was 1988. Welcome to a very Jimmy Radasta Christmas. November 8th. Yuck. In minus 3 months, George Bush will be president. Yuck. Come January, J. Danforth Quayle will be vice president. But I don't want to talk about it. Instead, why don't I depress myself by talking about school? Yes, what a pleasant day today was. In sixth period, masochist that I be, I insisted on delivering papers to Mr. Baylor's chemistry class, where Rob yelled out in front of everyone that I liked Duran Duran's new album. Later, Karen told me she can always smell me coming because of my Drakkar Noir. At least the weather was 10 times better. Yesterday's rain ended up tweaking my hair flat. November 9th. Today was real neat. I wore all black, including socks, and my Eurythmics revenge badge to show how I felt about Bush's election. Scott told me I was dressed good for a funeral. I told him it was due to the death of a country. November 14th. I just glanced at my horoscope. It said, emotional serenity is essential. That. I swear, I am so pissed. In newspaper, I walked into class only to hear Travis lisping all the time. Later, I told him that he always makes fun of my lisp. I told Mick he never listens to me. I told Matt he generally brings me down. And then Mr. Dyster cut in and said, and I hate your guts. Yes, I see his point, but I still get no respect. November 24th, Thanksgiving. What's there to be thankful for? 4 years of Bush as president? An ever-increasing social life? I give up. November 26th. When I went to the bathroom, I couldn't help noticing how good my hair looks. So I've decided, if my hair looks good in the morning, don't f*** with it. We're celebrating my birthday early because of my dad and my stepmother's f***ing trip to Mexico. So, they've been hounding me about what to get me. As for cake, light on the white frosting, with berry filling featuring a winter motif will suffice. As for ice cream, peppermint, no doubt about it. As for gifts, I need calendars, cologne gift sets, maybe a Walkman, maybe some batteries for the maybe Walkman, maybe a couple dictionaries, maybe some mechanical pencils. I don't know. So, as the weather got colder and the Christmas decorations started to go up, my misery continued. But then, magically, a few weeks before Christmas, things actually started to improve. The only problem was that despite all the little Christmas miracles happening around me, all I saw were lumps of coal. November 29th. I realized that December is just around the corner. That means gifts on the 13th, gifts on the 25th, vacation. I've earned it. In first period, I let my Christmas spirit officially begin by using my annoying Jingle Bells pencil. December 3rd. Shouldn't today have gone better? I mean, today was a Saturday, so no school, lots of sleep, right? I mean, today was the day that Dad celebrated my birthday early, so lots of presents, right? Right! But I still feel incredibly suicidal at the moment. After I suddenly got the great idea to take a walk, I hurriedly ate cake and ice cream and opened my presents. Walkman, batteries, headphones, card, album, maroon sweatshirt. A very special Christmas was playing on my Walkman, and Christmas decorations were all around, so I felt great. But then I went to 7-Eleven, took a wrong turn on my way home, and got honked at by four cars. When I got home, I noticed frost all over the place. I probably chose the coldest night since last winter for a 3.5-hour walk. I just looked in the mirror, and I must admit, I looked pretty studly. And I didn't run into one person I know. December 7th. At lunch, I had to sell Christmas messages for the newspaper. It was so lame. I don't want to talk about it. F*** you. December 10th. Mom had me help her make eggnog cake and put up the tiny Christmas tree that my stepfather got just for my bedroom. I got to use the best Christmas lights we have, and I put up all my ornaments. It looks terrific. December 16th. Today was one of those days whose outcome did not nearly match its anticipation. You know what I mean? Sure. Before school, Carol gave me a great card, and Scott gave me a bumper sticker and a 2.5-foot candy cane. But please! Yeah. Toya and Martha said hi to me in the hall. Plus, Greg sat down next to Andy and said, "Did you see the review of Morrissey in the paper?" Andy told Greg that I wrote it. Greg said, "All right! But please!" Tonight, Mom grounded me from doing anything with anybody because of my attitude. Bitch. How about I call her a psycho slut from now on? December 22nd. I don't know. I should feel good at the moment, right? You could have fooled me. I don't know. God damn it. Once again, because nobody called me up today, I feel like period. I began getting incessant nagging thoughts about how ungrateful everyone was/is to me. I even wrote it out at my peak of anger. So in the midst of all this, who happens by but Matt with a Christmas present? "Ho, ho, ho," he said. "What are you doing here?" I asked. "Making my Christmas rounds." Huh. Wonders never cease. And then finally, Christmas Day rolled around. The Christmas lights were twinkling, the cookies were baking fresh in the oven, and I was still complaining. December 25th. I woke up at 6 a.m. to listen to American Top 40, only to have Mom yell at me for waking her up. "You've ruined Christmas morning!" Whatever. I put on my new bike tires, which Dad brought over last night. Then, in my white jeans, I decided to take a ride to Plaid Pantry, and I spilled right in front of Betsy Simpkins' house. Great. So, clearly it was not shaping up to be a happy holiday, right? But there still was a silver lining to my dark cloud, the presents. So, what you're about to hear are, believe it or not, gifts that I was actually thrilled to receive. Back to the journal. Here's everything I received. 2 tangerines, 2 mechanical pencils, lead, regular envelopes, business envelopes, Drakkar Noir spray, Drakkar Noir deodorant, Boss cologne, Grun cologne, stamps, stapler, Scotch tape, The Traveling Wilburys Volume 1, Rest in peace, Tom Petty. Depeche Mode t-shirt. Turbo Blaster keychain. And Gumby Santa. So, all I wanted for Christmas was a little respect. But hey, at least I got my scotch tape. Thank you.
While Jimmy was busy grinching it up, other kids did everything they could to keep the Christmas spirit alive.
I wholeheartedly believed in Santa, 110%.
In some ways, Robert Kingett's childhood was like a lot of kids. He loved Christmas, he loved Santa, but in other ways, his childhood was unique.
I was a preemie. I was in an incubator, and I received way too much oxygen as opposed to not enough oxygen. Too much oxygen caused me to be legally blind, and I also have this cerebral palsy. So that made me grow up with a speech impediment, hence the stutter. Growing up with disabilities has taught me to believe in the seemingly impossible things. I think it's incredibly imperative that kids learn how to utilize their imagination to look at things differently.
That belief in the impossible is something that drove Robert as a kid, especially when it came to Saint Nick.
One time when I went to the mall, my grandmother took me to see Santa Claus. I sat on Santa's lap and I said, I have some questions for you about the North Pole and everything. I thought maybe he actually really is real and nobody has figured out the truth yet.
There's a grand tradition of kids trying to uncover that truth. Does Santa exist? And how can kids like Robert prove it?
Mr. Kringle is Santa Claus!
Fans of the 1947 classic Miracle on 34th Street understand this need to believe all too well. And it transcends generations, as evidenced by its remake in 1994.
Mr. Kringle did all this. I'm very sorry, Mother. You have it perfectly wrong.
So it'll come as no surprise that when Robert got an assignment in third grade to write a letter to the North Pole, he took it serious.
I had a mystery to solve. Who is Santa? How does he think? How does he tick? How does he choose the elves he chooses? How does he function and how does he operate?
Normally, this is when we'd cut to Robert reading aloud his letter on stage. However, for various reasons, Robert requested that someone else do the honors. And while we typically ask our participants to mortify themselves, we gladly made this exception. So who better to read aloud Robert's letter to Santa than someone who's actually worked with Santa?
That's a good one.
The star of 1994's Miracle on 34th Street.
Hi, I'm Mara Wilson.
Yep, the little girl who went to court for Kris Kringle, who, in full disclosure, did not grow up believing in Saint Nick.
My mom brought me a script and she said, it's a movie called Miracle on 34th Street. It's a remake of an old movie. I said, what is it about? Because I'd never seen it. And she said, well, it's about a little girl who doesn't believe in Santa Claus. And I said, oh, is she Jewish like us? My mom said, I'll look into that. And now, Robert Kingett's letter to Santa in third grade. Dear Santa, Mrs. Amanda told us to write to you, so I am writing to you. Tyler says that you don't exist, but how can someone not exist if everyone tells the same story about you every year? Besides, if you didn't exist, I'd read it in the news or watch it on TV, so I think he doesn't know what he's talking about. Besides, reading Rainbow tells your story. Why tell it on TV if it's fake? Doesn't that cost money? I have a weird request. I know that you operate a very popular business in the North Pole, but have you ever thought about expanding your business? Instead of just selling toys to kids, you could start doing clothes and books and cookies and stuff.
This letter is incredibly embarrassing to me for two reasons. The first is that I was trying to improve a business in the North Pole that doesn't exist. I also realized, I was incredibly opinionated as a kid.
Think about it, Santa. I like audiobooks, but Tyler doesn't like audiobooks. It's wrong to force him to think of a toy he may or may not want. Besides, I can't see well anyway, so why not get me something I can hear? You've been selling toys to my house for years, but can I tell you a secret? I can't see well, so I step on them or break them. If you sell other things to other kids that are not toys, they get to use their product longer and they don't need to write to you next year. Do you see how that makes sense? I think that if you try my idea, maybe sit down in your office with your elves and talk it over, you all can make a new and improved shop. Now me, I've been extra good, so I want cookies. I also want that stuffed wishbone dog I never got. I think you misplaced that file in your office. Because I've been extra good this year, it's logical that I get extra stuff, if I understand your business correctly.
So I grew up very interested in writing. I knew that it was a way for me to communicate, and I knew it was a way for me to tackle my speech disabilities.
I want a PlayStation game, I want cookies, and I want that wishbone dog. Seriously, he's so cute. Please, Santa? I will love him forever and ever. I hope you like my idea. I thought about it for many days. Consider it, please. If you do decide to adopt my new business, can you write to me or Mrs. Amanda? You have my address and you know where my school is, so let me know. I have a question. Why do you never write back? Robert Kingett.
I asked him why he never wrote me back. I thought that it was a little rude of Santa. I wanted to genuinely know why year after year after year, you don't have the common courtesy to write back. If I could ask Santa for anything right now, I would like a chance to just chill and hang out. Oh, and of course, to finally have an exclusive interview for a newspaper.
As always, all the childhood writings heard in today's episode were shared with no embellishing, no exaggerating, just God-given awkwardness. To share the shame, follow us on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter. Or visit getmortified.com to learn about Mortified stage shows, books, films, and beyond. Click participate, and who knows, maybe you'll appear on a future episode of this series. And check out other Christmas-inspired Mortified tales by listening to episode 82, Merry Giftmas, or episode 44, Dear Santa, I Want a Headbanger. The Mortified podcast is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX. And if your company would like to support our podcast, email sponsor, radiotopia.fm. Our podcast production team for this episode includes Hadley Dion, Dave Nadelberg, and myself, Neil Katcher. Shay DeGrandis and Poo Jabot story produced these for the stage. Music by Gordon Bash, Alex Burke, Adam Smith, The Angel, Zoe Rose Palladino, and Snakes. Special thanks to Mara Wilson. Additional thanks to AdZerk for providing their ad-serving platform, Lance Roberts Studios, and all the dedicated Mortified live producers whose work make the stage show possible. Until next time, we remind you that we are freaks, we are fragile, and we all survived, even if we never did get swept up in the spirit of Christmas.
Mamacita, ¿dónde está Santa Claus? ¿Dónde está Santa Claus? And the toys that he will need. Mamacita, oh, where is Santa Claus? I look for him because...
You're tuned to The Spot on 91.7 KALW. Featuring the best bits and bobs from podcasts and independent radio producers. I'm Ashley Ann Krigbaum. Boyd Applegate's job is driving big rig trucks, but his passion is Santa Claus. Each Christmas, Boyd dresses up as a real beard Santa. He does it for love, not money. At StoryCorps, Boyd told his sister, Rhonda Dixon, how it all started.
Santa Claus was a byproduct of truck driving. Because I drive a truck, I can have a beard that's a little bit longer than most people. And one early November, my head was cold and I didn't have a hat, so I stopped at a Walmart. They had a rack of Santa hats right inside the door, and I picked one off and I put it on my head. And a little four-year-old boy that was walking by with his mother yanked her to a stop and said, "Look, it's Santa!" And I have not spent Christmas Eve or Christmas Day at home with my family for the last 18 years. I'm usually in a rented red convertible, and I do under-the-tree gift deliveries that are designed for children to wake up and catch me in the middle of the process.
What are some of your favorite moments doing Santa Claus over the years?
One young lady wanted me to be her new stepfather. One young lady wanted me to provide her a maid. I've gone down to Tijuana, Mexico, and done it where I don't speak the language. In fact, one year when I was coming back, this young man comes running up to the side of the car, and when he saw me, his eyes opened and his jaw dropped. I gave him a really jolly ho, 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 and I handed him this gift. And as I went across the border guard had seen me hand him something. And he looked at me and he said, "You really must be Santa, and tonight I can't possibly stop you, so go ahead." As a Santa Claus, one of the big mistakes you can make is to not believe yourself. When I walk out of the house in my suit, I cease being me, and I absolutely am Santa. And no matter whether it's a skeptical teenager or somebody that wants to yank on my beard, it doesn't matter. What matters the most to me is I believe. And Santa Claus is truly the most important thing in my life.
That was Boyd Applegate speaking with his sister, Rhonda Dixon, with StoryCorps in 2012. You can hear the backlog of StoryCorps interviews at StoryCorps.org or subscribe to the StoryCorps podcast. This holiday season, you can also record your loved ones with the StoryCorps app for smartphones and tablets, too. That's all we have for you today on The Spot. You can find more episodes of our show at KALW.org. Send your recommendations of podcasts or radio producers we should feature in an email to thespot@KALW.org. I'm Ashley Ann Krigbaum, and thanks so much for listening. Also, a very merry holiday season and new year to you and yours. Tune in next week for another episode. Only on 91.7 KALW.